Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could join us tonight here at Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, leader of this small but powerful congregation, and also director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. Berit Chadashah, as you know, is the Hebrew phrase for new covenant. And it reminds us of what God promised and prophesied to the Jewish people in Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the Lord says, I will make a new covenant with Bet Israel, the house of Israel. So the new covenant was made and offered to the Jewish people. And following in that vein, Romans 1:16 tells us the gospel is to go to the Jews first, not because they're inherently superior than the Gentiles, but because it was them God chose to reveal Himself through His Word and to bring to the world the Jewish Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. So we are one of the few ministries, I would dare say, in the world that takes Romans 1:16 seriously. We go to the Jewish people, and praise God, we were triumphantly able to return to Israel finally after a 2.5-year exile from the land due to the insidious COVID-19 virus. And we have been doing this now for 21 years, so we're not talking greenhorns here. We know what we're doing, and I would put this ministry up with the best ministries out there. Chosen People Ministries, Jews for Jesus, and we are, in a sense, an arm of Zola Levitt Ministries. When I first did my first outreach to Israel and came back and reported to Zola Levitt about this, he was so shocked at the receptivity of the Israelis that he then created a fund to help support our outreaches. And folks, if you want to learn what we do in Israel, the people we witness to, and what transpires, we have an excellent platform for that in our ministry newsletter called Search the Scriptures. This is a quarterly newsletter. The winter spring 2022 edition is out. We'll be doing the summer one probably late in May. And so if you want to know what we're doing in Israel, what the Holy Spirit is doing through this gospel witnessing ministry in Israel, then I highly suggest you sign up for our free quarterly newsletter. All you need to do is go to our ministry website at searchthescripturesonline.org, click on the newsletter menu, and you can sign up. You can sign up to have it sent to you via email, and that way you get the color version. Or if you want us to send it to you by mail, you'll get the black and white version that I have here with me. Also, I want to thank once again our faithful supporters who underwrite these outreaches and allow us to do them, allow us to take time off from our busy schedule. We don't make money doing this. We do this entirely free. And that's why it's important and incumbent that we have support. Nobody is buying a Rolex watch or a Rolls Royce or a mansion through people's donations. If you know of a ministry like that, and there are many, run from them. So we are a humble, self-sacrificial, but effective ministry in Israel. And if you would like to support us, you can do that. You can go to our donate link that's there below the title of tonight's message there on Facebook. Click on the donate link and you can make a secure donation via PayPal. We are a 501(c), so any donation that you make is deductible from your taxes. But if you don't support us, at least support a ministry that does go to the Jewish people and shares the gospel with them. That's the call and duty of the church. It's not an option. It's a command that Jesus gave in the Great Commission, and it's also was followed out by Jesus and then the apostles in the book of Acts. You will note that whether it was Peter, the apostle to the circumcision, i.e. the Jews, or Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, they all went to the Jews first. Romans 1:16 doesn't have an expiration date on it. So, and when you bless this ministry by affording us the ability to go over there and share the gospel and give them the Word of God, you also bring upon yourself the Abrahamic blessings of Genesis 12. 1-3, that God will bless those who bless Israel. Well, folks, I'm going to get right into this. Finally, the long 2.5-year exile from Israel due to the insidious COVID-19 virus ended. August Rosado and myself returned to Israel on March 15th to carry out the 50th gospel outreach to Israel. All week before our arrival over there, we were greatly concerned over the many bureaucratic red tape hoops we had to jump through and make sure everything was done correctly. But God answered our prayer. He answered our prayer. Our departure from America and arrival in Israel was the fastest ever, and ironically happened when extra preconditions and requirements were added. So that was really great. So getting there for the 50th gospel outreach was the smoothest and seamless ever out of all the gospel outreaches. Again, that's ironic considering they had all these extra requirements that you had to do. And so once August and I were processed through passport control when we landed at Ben-Gurion in Tel Aviv, Israel, we went to the car rental area only to find the office closed. So momentarily we were very concerned. But to our pleasant surprise, the van to the car rental place with the driver was already there. They anticipated our arrival. And our driver's name was Leod, L-E-O-D. You see him here. He was a 21-year-old Israeli and a recent graduate of college. And immediately the Holy Spirit impressed upon August and I to bear witness concerning the Messiah, or I should say the Messianic prophecies of the Tanakh, and the fact they point to and were exclusively fulfilled by Yeshua of Nazareth in the Brit Hadashah. The Tanakh is what Christians call the Old Testament, the Brit Hadashah Hebrew for what we call the New Testament. When we mentioned how that Yeshua is the prophesied Messiah who came and will come again, Leod boldly told August and I, you're going to love this, he boldly told us that he did not believe the lies that were being slanderously spread in Israel about Yeshua. This was an obvious indictment and reference to the unbelieving Antichrist rabbis there, the Orthodox rabbis. This elated our hearts to hear Leod say that. August and I shared the gospel with him and how that Yeshua's death provides the final kippurah, the final atonement for our sin, bringing God's forgiveness, and how Yeshua's resurrection from the dead is historical fact that brings eternal life and victory over death to all who believe in Him. And he said, yes, I believe this, I believe this. He said that rapidly. Leod was very open and appreciative. And as you see here, we gave him a complete Hebrew study Bible informing him that he can read and see, or enabling him so that he can read and see what the Word of God says about Yeshua the Messiah from both testaments of the Hebrew Scriptures. So there you see it. It says the Torah, Ketuvim, and Hanaviim, and Berit Hadashah. So what that is the Torah, the writings, the prophets, and the New Testament. The Bible that you have in your hands as Christians, the Old and New Testament. It's divided canonically different according to Judaism, with the exception of the fact they leave off the Berit Hadashah. So what a way to jumpstart the 50th gospel outreach. We couldn't have asked for a better start to this outreach, and that really gave us a spiritual adrenaline rush, that I can tell you. And so once we came to our hotel and checked in, the 35 Hebrew study Bibles left for us by Sar El Tours was given to us by the hotel management. Because of the heavy nature of the Bibles, a hotel employee, Timur, as you see here. We don't need that. Okay, that's out of sequence, so. There we go, that's Timur. He helped us carry the Bibles up or put them on a dolly so that we could take them up there. Timur helped us with taking the Bibles up to our room. Timur was a Russian Jew who was open, as August and I felt led to share with him about the Messiah being the central person of biblical revelation. From that, we also shared the gospel with him. He said he was familiar with what the Bible said about Jesus, and he was joyful to take a Hebrew Bible from both of us. What a great start to the 50th gospel outreach to Israel. And so God immediately opened the doors to gospel ministry to Am Segulah the moment we arrived back in the land of Emmanuel, Isaiah 8:8. In the evening, we had our dinner brought up to our room. Let me explain why that was so. The hotel management would not let us into the dining room because we had not received the results of our PCR test that we took at Ben Gurion, which is required by the state of Israel. And August and I were not real happy about that. So Tony, the female manager of the hotel, felt really bad about this. So she arranged to have our food brought up to our room at no charge. And when they brought the food up, they brought up a sumptuous feast that could have easily fed five people. August and I felt burdened for Tony. Thus, we decided after dinner to go down and find her and thank her for her generosity and understanding. We met with Tony, and in the course of our conversation with her, we offered her the gift of God's complete word concerning Yeshua the Messiah. She was overjoyed and brought to tears upon accepting it with the Berit Hadashah. Tony was very grateful that she had a Bible. She had a Bible that now contains the New Testament. She said it was a precious gift, and she was so touched by it. She says, "I don't know what to say." So pray that Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will open her heart and eyes, that she will read these scriptures and in faith accept Jesus the Messiah. We hope to see her again in June, assuming we stay at that hotel. So what a great opportunity for this ministry to share with her. She looks similar to a friend of mine in Israel named Tamar Keres. Same openness, same willingness to accept the word about Yeshua. So our first day in Israel was really profitable. We jumped in it right away from the airport at Ben Gurion. All right, the next day, our first full day of gospel ministry was spectacular. In the past, this ministry has visited a large shopping mall in Netanya, Israel, where we have had success before. So we went back there again under the Lord's leading. And the Spirit led us to a skincare product store where we met a young Israeli lady by the name of Bat El. You know what that means? Daughter of God. Bat means daughter. El means daughter of God in Hebrew. As the Spirit led us, we told Bat El how much we love Israel and are very joyful to be back in the land during the Jewish holiday of Purim. Read the book of Esther for that. And since it was Purim, we told her we had a metanah for her, Hebrew for gift. We had a gift to give her. That gift, we said, was a Hebrew study Bible that included the New Testament, Berit Chadashah in Hebrew. And we showed her some of the major messianic prophecies Yeshua of Nazareth fulfilled from the Hebrew Scriptures. I think we have a picture of me showing her the Scriptures. There you go. Look at that. And I'm showing her a pamphlet that we give out with the Bibles that Zola and I actually did. It's a pamphlet that contains 17 major messianic prophecies in the Tanakh. You have the Hebrew text from the Old Testament underneath the English, and then the fulfillment by Yeshua in the New Testament in Hebrew, and underneath that in English. So she was looking at this quite fascinated. You got to remember that most of the Israelis have never even heard the good news about Yeshua. And I blame the church for that. Their failure in dropping the ball and not coming to the Jewish people in a right spirit with humility to bring the gospel to them. We know about the Crusades. We know about the Inquisition. Those were false Christians trying to force a false Christianity on the Jewish people. But I'm talking about real powerful evangelism wrought by the Holy Spirit and carried out with the spirit of humility in Christ Jesus. So Battel was awestruck by what we were showing here in about Messianic prophecy and Yeshua fulfilling them. She saw for herself how Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel through the proof of His fulfillment of first coming Messianic prophecy. She further graciously accepted the Hebrew Bible from us, and when we gave her the Bible, Battel said, Kol Achavod, which in Hebrew means good job or job well done. She was complimenting us for our gospel outreach to her. Isn't that something? It just really brought me to tears, I can tell you that. Okay, so praise the Lord for that. So then we also prayed for Battel. She had met her boyfriend in the IDF 2 years ago. From when we talked to her, she told us that. And so we prayed for her right there in the skincare product shop, and we ended the prayer in the name of, well, in Hebrew, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, B'Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach. That's in the name, and she said amen to that. So she knew exactly what we were doing. We don't, like some ministries, we don't go in there pretending to be Jewish so we can share Jesus with them or, you know, take on the accoutrements of that. We're very open from the get-go of who we are and why God of Israel has brought us to His people. So, praise the Lord. Battel is a prime example of how the Jewish people are getting more open to the truth. Jesus is indeed the prophesied Messiah of the Jewish Scriptures. Then only 10 minutes later, after witnessing to Battel, August and I met Anna at the Laline Soap and Bath Shop. We wished her a Chag Sameach, or Happy Holiday, because it was Purim. August and I asked her as well if she had gotten a gift from Purim, because they do exchange gifts during Purim and also, I believe, during Hanukkah. And she said she did not receive anything. So we told her we wanted to give her a gift. She exclaimed, "Really?" We said, "Of course." And we gave her the Bible and explained how God used the Jewish people to write His inspired word about Yeshua the Messiah, found in both testaments of Scripture. She said, "Wow, for me." She accepted the Scriptures with 3 Messianic gospel tracts to help her discover the plan of salvation offered through the Messiah whom Scripture reveals to be Jesus of Nazareth. So the Lord was really just bringing these people one after another in quick succession. Next, we entered a Dickies clothes shop. Now, I told this young Israeli that the only Dickies clothes that I see is at Walmart here, but I didn't realize that Dickies actually has clothes shops. And he worked in this Dickies clothes shop, and we struck up a wonderful witness with Eli Joseph in the middle there. He told us how he had done volunteer work for the Chabad movement. Do you know what the Chabad movement is? It is a Orthodox Jewish group who believes that Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson from the Ukraine is the Messiah. He is not the Messiah. He's another false Messiah in the long history of false Messiahs in Jewish history. Fortunately, Eli Joseph told us that he did not believe Rabbi Menachem Schneerson was the Messiah. August and I said that whoever fulfilled the first coming prophecies given in the Jewish Bible would prove beyond doubt that person was the Messiah. And we proceeded to show him from Scripture how this person was Jesus of Nazareth and him alone. John 6:47. Eli eagerly received a copy of God's Word in Hebrew from us as if we gave him 100 shekels. So, again, we had a great witness at this mall. I call it the Hangar Deck Mall because it's a huge mall that looks like one big hangar deck there in Netanya. Some of these places we go every time. We have great witnessing there. We don't have any issues. Well, we went back to the hotel to eat a late lunch, August and I, and we were then led to talk to Sharon, our waitress, compelled to share the gospel of Jesus with her. Sharon was moved and touched by this wonderful Messiah Jesus we proclaim from the Scriptures. In the end, she was overwhelmed and moved to accept a Hebrew study Bible as a gift for Purim. Now she can truly see from God's Word the Messiah who loves her, died for her, and desires to give her the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins through faith in Yeshua the Messiah. I was going to bring a study Bible tonight, and I forgot to bring one. But I want to thank David Katz, Asaph, and Samuel Shmazda of Sar El Tours, the largest tour company in Israel, owned by Samuel Shmazda, who is a Jewish believer in Yeshua. They provide us Bibles every time we go there. And it was Samuel Shmazda who met August in one of our hotels in Jerusalem several years back. And Samuel Shmazda said himself that Messianics and Messianics abroad out of Israel and even Christians do not do what we're doing. He said, I'm so motivated and excited that you're doing this, that we want to provide you free Hebrew study Bibles. And those Hebrew study Bibles can run anywhere from $75 to $100 a piece. So when you support us, we're not sitting back in lounge chairs at the pool drinking Mai Tais in Israel. This goes to support us in so many areas, and one of them is to hand out these impressive and expensive but excellent study Bibles. There is an appendix in these study Bibles where there is an exhaustive list of Messianic prophecies and how Yeshua fulfilled each one. And there's the plan of salvation in this Bible. It's one of the appendices. And it shows how a Jewish person can put their faith in Jesus. And then, of course, we add the three Messianic tracts. I brought them here before, but I didn't bring them tonight. And they are the Zola Levitt Messianic Prophecy pamphlet. Then we have another one called L'chaim, explaining the plan of salvation to a Jewish person. And then we have another one, Chick Tracts. I love Chick Tracts. Don't agree with everything they say, but they have a tract in Hebrew called Israel's Past, Present, and Future. And it's like a comic book little tract, and it explains God's plan for Israel from the first the call of Abraham to the second coming of Messiah. So those are the three that we hand out. All right, so that was a great witness with Sharon. So the next day, I believe it was March 17th, August and I were set to leave Netanya for Tiberias in the Galilee. Before we left, one of the hotel staff came up to our room to assist us with our luggage and the large box of Hebrew Bibles. The young man's name was Liad. August and I explained to him why we distribute the complete Bibles in Hebrew with both testaments contained in one volume. We told him the unity of the two testaments is united under the central person of biblical revelation, Jesus the Messiah. Liad expressed a genuine curiosity and said he would like to know more about this. Praise God. Liad's articulated wish allowed us to offer him one of these impressive study Bibles. He gladly accepted a Bible he is able to point out that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise again. So in these very scriptures, Liad now received from us those things the prophets and Moses have written about Messiah, that the Messiah would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and the Gentiles, Acts 26, 22 through 23. As an example of that, we directed Liad to closely read how Isaiah 53 foretold the sufferings and atoning death of the Messiah for the salvation of Israel and the world, and that it was clearly fulfilled in the sufferings and death of Yeshua. Liad looked at this prophecy with us and exclaimed that such a striking connection compelled him to want to read the very scriptures we gave him the moment he got home from work that very day. He also said he was somewhat familiar with the New Testament, but now speaking with Augustine and I, he was going to engage in serious study of the Hebrew Study Bible we had given him. He saw no problem with a Jew reading about the biblical claim for Jesus being the Messiah of Israel. So that was a great witness. Praise God. We thank the Lord and the Spirit of truth working through us to reach out to Leod and whetting his spiritual appetite for the Word of God to behold the crucified and risen Messiah, come to redeem Jews and Gentiles who believe in him through the reading of God's written word proclaimed and distributed to the nation of Israel. So that was a great witness as we departed Netanya. So then we decided again to stop into Nazareth and to a mall where, again, another good fishing haul. We've had really good witness in this Nazareth mall. August and I, once we came to the mall, we visited one store where our friend Natalie is the store manager. We gave her the gospel and Messianic gospel tract some 5 years ago. And there at the shop, we noticed she had a new co-worker, an Arab lady by the name of Mariana. We told her we wanted to give her a gift for Purim. So we made sure she read Hebrew, and she too warmly accepted a Hebrew Bible. Mariana told us she was an Arab Christian. Let me preface that by saying many Arabs in Israel are sadly nominal Christians and biblically illiterate, like so many so-called Christians in America. Mariana was more than willing to accept the scriptures with an Arab gospel tract detailing the life of Jesus from the first coming to his glorious return. We then ventured over to a place in the mall called Greg's Cafe, where we had lunch. And there, once again, we were able to witness to another Arab Christian named Maria. She, too, was a nominal Christian. How do I know that? Well, when I asked her if she wanted to read about what Yeshua did to save her from the Bible, she confessed she did not know what the New Testament was. So August and I told her that it's one complete Bible that is about one person come to save us from our sins and the power of death. With that, Maria also accepted the Bible with an Arab gospel tract that was included with it. She could not thank us enough for our ministry and the gift of God's Word we gave to her. So that was our ministry in Nazareth. Nazarite elite, which means upper Nazareth. Most of the Jewish residents in Nazareth live in the upper part of Nazareth, whereas the Arabs, whether Muslims or Christians, they live in the lower part. We get the word elite from the Hebrew word elite, and it means upper. So, next day, was our first full day in the Galilee. The latter of Tiberias and the Galilee. Galilee, of course, was the area Jesus spent most of his ministry while in Israel. He did 18 of his 33 miracles in and around the Sea of Galilee. This was one of the best times of ministry August and I spent in Tiberias. So this 50th gospel outreach, it will now be distinct for that. Tiberias can be a very hard nut to crack. August and I, entered the lobby of the kibbutz we were staying at, and we felt led to approach Katie, pictured here in the middle of Katie, and she was one of the receptionists. She was born and lived all her life in the Galilee area. We told her we were utterly joyful and thrilled to be back in Israel after a 2.5 year exile due to COVID-19 restrictions. August and I shared with her the fact that most of Jesus' ministry was spent in this area. Katie agreed and said she knew that. We then told her that every Jewish person needs to know and to learn about the life of Yeshua, who He is and what He did. So to that end, we were offered Katie a free Hebrew study Bible that included the New Testament in Hebrew, which she openly accepted. Katie thanked us and said she would read the scriptures we gave her. We then walked into the gift shop there at the kibbutz, where August and I mutually felt good about Mary or Miriam's openness to hear about Jesus the Messiah. She worked there in the gift shop. She proved to be exactly that. She loved our unwavering support for Israel. August and I told her that the reason for it was based in the fact God chose the Jewish people to give us the Messiah. I then shared with Mary my powerful testimony of how Jesus saved and supernaturally delivered me from drug addiction and militant atheism, and afterwards deposited in me a love for His chosen people. August and I decided to... August and I declared to her that it was the same love that causes us to regularly visit Israel and give back this great Messiah to His people. Mary brimmed with excitement and jubilance once learning this, and she was most happy to hear the case for the Messiah being none other than Jesus the Galilean from both testaments of the Hebrew Bible. She gratefully, as you see there, gratefully accepted a Hebrew study Bible from us with Messianic gospel tracts pointing out the crucial truth that Jesus is Messiah. Once we finished that fantastic gospel witness with Mary, we then revisited the big mall, that's what it's called, the big mall in Tiberias, which in the past has been a very difficult place to share the gospel, since Tiberias is a bastion of Orthodox or Rabbinic Judaism. There are four cities in Israel considered to be cities of Orthodox Judaism: Jerusalem, Hebron, Tiberias, and Safat. And we have witnessed in all three of those four. We haven't witnessed in Hebron yet, but we have gone into these very centers of Orthodox Rabbinic Judaism and boldly declared the gospel by the power of the Spirit. But on this day, God removed all barriers from us so that the gospel of Yeshua could be powerfully and boldly proclaimed to the people of Israel. August and I approach La Paz, and she's dressed here in a devil's outfit because it was Purim, and they all dress up for Purim, and it was funny. Once she realized we were Shalakim of Yeshua HaMashiach, that is, sent ones of Jesus the Messiah, she said, I'll exchange this devil suit for a suit of a saint or something. And we said, well, yeah, you can do that inwardly. So that was very interesting. But she was most open. She worked at a jewelry kiosk in the mall. She was bubbly and ebulliently open to hear about what Yeshua the Messiah did for her when He came the first time to Israel. We exhorted her she could learn and receive from reading the Hebrew Scriptures how that Yeshua offers her eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, a future reign with Him in the coming Messianic kingdom, and a home in heaven after death. She started tearing up when we listed those benefits of free salvation predicated upon faith or trust in Jesus as Messiah. And she was looking forward to reading the Hebrew Bible we gave her. She profusely thanked us for the gift of God's Word. Amen. Then next we met, and she's on the very end there, the diminutive girl there with the black hair. We met Shached, another Israeli who was open to our gospel ministry. She worked in a mattress store in the mall. She was very nice and had an open spirit about the gospel of Yeshua, the Messiah. We shared with her that very gospel, and her friend also listened in. Her friend's right here. Shaqid's over there, and the black hair. And August and I decided to tell her that salvation only comes through the Jewish Messiah who did most of his ministry in the Galilee. We then told her the Bible, a Jewish book, is the best resource to know this Messiah. And we wanted to give her a free copy for her own to read and learn this. Shaqid had no problem accepting our offer. So again, another good type of ministry. Later, we went back. We were staying at the Naf Gennesar Kibbutz. It's located on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Kinneret. That's the Old Testament name. It's not really a sea, but it's a lake. Kinneret means harp, because the Sea of Galilee is shaped in a harp. So we went back to Naf Gennesar Kibbutz and went to the gift shop there, where the 2,000-year-old Jesus boat is located. You've heard about the Jesus boat, right? And it's located there. They found a boat, a fishing boat, in the early 1990s, embedded underneath the sand. They were able to extricate it and preserve it. And you can go into a room and see the boat itself. And it was likely the same type of fishing boat that Jesus' disciples, Peter, John, Andrew, and so forth, used in their fishing industry. So we went into the gift shop. In the same place where the ancient Jesus boat is located, we met and witnessed to an open-minded Israeli by the name of Antonio. Apparently, him and August knew each other, because August takes Bible tours over there through his ministry. And he can confirm that statement on Facebook. But August and Antonio had known each other in the past, so that set the stage for us to share the gospel with him. Amen. And he worked in the gift shop. August and I knew from the Spirit he would be open to what we had to say about Yeshua, the Messiah. We shared with Antonio about Yeshua's teaching and miracle-working ministry in the Galilee, as foretold in the Jewish Bible. We told him about Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, how that the light of the Messiah and his person and ministry would start and be revealed in the Galilee. And the gift shop sold, we noticed the gift shop sold Hebrew Bibles with both Testaments in them. We complimented Antonio for that. And when asked if he read the Berit Hadashah, he said no. He said no. So we proceeded to point out to Antonio that both Testaments are inseparably connected through Yeshua the Messiah, and suggested he read the Two Testament Bible to see and believe for himself. Antonio looked at us briefly and said, and he had no issues taking a Hebrew study Bible from us without hesitation. So again, what a great way to end the day of ministry there. We ended up passing out 5 Hebrew study Bibles to 5 Israelis. And that's one of the best days we've had in Tiberias. All right, let's move on. Okay, after each day of ministry, August and I do make a point, when we have the time and the wherewithal, to go to different locations and do Bible teaching that August posts on his YouTube page. You can go to his YouTube page, August Rosado, type in August and Todd Teaching, and you'll get a whole slew of teachings we've done in Israel. So we went to the tomb of Rabbi Akiva. If you remember, during the Second Jewish Revolt that occurred in 132 to 135 AD, Rabbi Akiva was the spiritual leader of this revolt, and he promoted and declared that the military leader Shimon Bar Kokhba was the Messiah. Bar Kokhba means son of the star. So Rabbi Akiva erroneously thought that Simon Bar Kokhba was the Messiah, and he based that on the Star of Jacob prophecy of Numbers 24:17. So we did a teaching there showing how that there have been roughly 43 false messiahs in Jewish history that have been accepted at one time by the Jewish people as the real Messiah. And the irony, we said in this teaching, is that the one true Messiah who came, Jesus of Nazareth, they reject as false. How ironic is that? So sadly, Rabbi Akiva was killed. He was killed by the Romans along with Shimon Bar Kokhba, the military leader he promoted as Messiah. And that was the end of that. Okay, so the next day, day 5 of the 50th Gospel Outreach in Israel was spectacular as we journeyed to Har Hermon, or Mount Hermon. This is overlooking the sea, the city of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee in the background there, if you can barely see it. And this is our way, making our way to Mount Hermon. There is the snow-capped mountain. When we went up there, there was snow and very cold weather. It's really surreal because down in the lower depths, there's no hint of winter whatsoever. A lot of people don't know that there is skiing in Israel, and it's on Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is located in far northern Israel. I've decided to quote August about this day of ministry and what he wrote on his Facebook page. Dr. August Rosado gives an excellent recounting of our gospel ministry there. He says, quote, "We are in the Golan Heights, and in front of us," go back please, "in front of us driving is Mount Hermon, standing some 9,222 feet high. It is called the Eyes of Israel. It is the site of Jesus' transfiguration in Matthew 17. At the foot of Mount Hermon is Caesarea Philippi, where Peter confessed Yeshua to be the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16. We read in Psalm 89:12, the north, quote, "the north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name." I find it interesting here that Mount Tabor is another alternate location for the Mount of Transfiguration. It is not the Mount of Transfiguration. It's nowhere near Caesarea Philippi, where Mount Hermon is adjacent to. Furthermore, in the Gospel accounts, they left Caesarea Philippi and went to this exceeding high mountain where Jesus was transfigured before His disciples and Moses and Elijah appeared. So Mount Hermon is the likely source of that. August went on to say, "Dr. Todd Baker and I are on snowy Mount Hermon in the Golan in the north. We gave, now you can go ahead and show this, we gave the gospel to two Israeli soldiers in the shack behind us, Niv and Tanif. Because it is the Sabbath, they would not let us take their picture, even though Tanif wanted to. We gave them complete Hebrew Bibles, as well as chips, water, and chocolate bars. They said that we were awesome. Shababa in Hebrew." Actually, that word is Arabic, but the Israelis import the word Shababa to say awesome. The word for awesome in Hebrew is Madi'im, but they use the Arab word Shababa. Todd and I said no to the soldiers. "No, you are awesome, defending the state of Israel. We told them Jesus, Yeshua, was transfigured on this mountain, and Moses and Elijah appeared to him. The soldiers were blown away. They thanked us for coming. The record is intact for 21 straight years of no total rejection here." This is what we do every outreach. We go up and meet with these IDF in this shack, give them snacks, and share the gospel with them and give them Bibles. Amen? So once again, we went up there and with no total rejection. 1 year, we had an issue where the commander didn't want us giving Bibles out to people, so he chased us down the mountain and got in front of us, and he returned 4 Bibles, but we had given out 5. So there has been no total rejection up there. So, but fortunately, we didn't run into an antichrist like that on this trip. He should have let the soldiers make up their own decision. Yeah, that's right. He should have let the soldiers make up their own mind whether they wanted to accept the Bibles or not. All right, so with an extra day in the beautiful, verdant green of Galilee, August Rosado and myself decided to make our way to a small town of Rosh Pinya, located north of the Sea of Galilee. The city has a population of a little over 3,100 residents. This is the Sea of Galilee coming back from Mount Hermon. All right, so we went to Rosh Pinya. The word Rosh Pinya in Hebrew means cornerstone. That'll factor significantly as we recount what happened. So we went there and we visited a series of outside shops that covered about a half a mile over four or five city blocks. We met Lewis here, the owner of a perfume shop. August and I told him that we come to Israel often to give the blessings of Hashem that were channeled through the Jewish people. We wanted to give that back to them. Naturally, the affable Lewis inquired as to what these were. So I pulled out a complete Hebrew Bible, and August and I explained it was all revealed in the written Word of God about who the Messiah is and just what He has done to save both Jew and Gentile. We included with the Bible Messianic Gospel tracts to help facilitate Lewis to better understand this. He had no reservations about taking a Bible from us to encounter Yeshua the Messiah in the pages of the Holy Scriptures. So then I took August to another location there in Rosh Pinya where I've had successful ministry, and it's called in Hebrew Ricochet. It is a hiking shop. A hiking and camping shop. In the past, employees who worked there were open to the gospel. In the store, we met two employees there. Eddie, right there. Eddie and Annis. When we told them that we come to Israel to bring God's word and the good news of Yeshua the Messiah back to His people, they were thankful and open to hear the word. Eddie spoke up that to him, the aim of life is to love one's neighbor as yourself. We pointed out that Jesus said exactly the same thing in the Berit Hadashah, or New Testament. But before that, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Mark 12, 30 and 31. We used that aspect of the word to then demonstrate to both Israelis that it was God's love to save man that He sent Yeshua the Messiah to give His life for our salvation. It is this Jewish Messiah that is the cornerstone, yes, I use the word Rosh Pinya, the cornerstone of biblical revelation in the Jewish Scriptures. August and I asked both men if they would like to accept a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures to learn and see this for themselves. Both men enthusiastically said yes and accepted, that's Annas there, accepted God's Word for themselves. Eddie carefully thumbed through the beautiful layout of the study Bible and said, nice. Both he and Annas were very happy to receive these impressive study Bibles and Messianic Gospel literature that came with them. Beloved, please pray that Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will open their eyes to see wondrous things about Yeshua the Messiah and God's Word, generating faith in Him for salvation in their opened hearts and minds. All right. We might go over a little. Is that okay? Okay. I don't know if I can get it done in 10 minutes. Probably. I'll see, but anyway, I want to include everything. Okay, real quickly, this is the site of Gath Hefer. Do you know what Gath Hefer is? It is the city or small village where Jonah the prophet was born. Gath Hefer, 6 miles from our kibbutz. This is, quickly, let's go through that because I want to, and this is the information about it. This was a 8th century Muslim palace built by a sheikh. But this is the general area of the ancient city Gath Hefer, where Jonah the prophet was born. August and I did a teaching there about Jonah the prophet, how the events of him being swallowed up by the whale, Matthew 12, are a type and shadow of the resurrection of Jesus. And we also discussed the fact, John 7:52, the Pharisees told Nicodemus disdainfully, search the Scriptures, and no prophet comes from the Galilee. Well, Jonah did, Elijah did, Elisha did, Hosea did, and I'm forgetting another prophet that came from there. So prophets did come from Galilee, preparing the way for the preeminent prophet, Jesus, the man from Galilee. All right, let's get through that, please. Those are the ruins. It was a big palace, by the way. It was destroyed by an earthquake in the ninth century, I think. And there's some information on it. They excavated it. There's a millstone, place for the millstone. Those yellow flowers, by the way, are mustard plants. The mustard seed, the mustard plant. All right, so... yeah, stop there. Thank you. So, that evening when we returned to the hotel at dinner and at breakfast, I should say also, I will usually take a complete Hebrew Bible with me with Messianic Gospel tracts just in case an opportunity to witness and minister the Gospel should arise and give God's Word out free. And that very thing happened. As August and I were having dinner, an elderly gentleman came up to our table, spotted the Bible I brought down from our room, and asked if it was a Bible. August and I were surprised. We were surprised. He knew that it was a Bible, since the binding was facing us. The man's name was Jesse, and he was a licensed Israeli tour guide. He was familiar with the New Testament when asked by us. Jesse was quite impressed with the study Bible and Messianic Gospel materials that came with it. He listened with rapt attention as August and I filled him in how the Bible is the drama of redemption centered around the Messiah, Jesus the Redeemer. Needless to say, Jesse was thrilled and overjoyed to receive the expensive Bible from us. He walked over to his dinner table. He walked over to his dinner table while he and his female colleague perused the pages of his newfound sacred prize. Obviously, the Holy Spirit drew him to the Word that he may see the wonders of Messiah Jesus inside its pages. So he put the Bible down. He went to get some food. August was whispering to me. His colleague is looking through the scriptures. And so I'm mumbling under my breath, take a picture of it. Get a picture of it. And there she is, thumbing through the Word of God. Amen. Well, the next day, August and I left Tiberias for the holy city of Jerusalem. On this day, we gave out four Bibles. Two were given to two Arab Muslims at our kibbutz, and the other two were given to two Jewish Israeli women. This man here is Nahad. He was a supervisor of the dining room at our hotel or our kibbutz in Tiberias. He did such a good job that August and I shared the good news of Jesus the Messiah with him. He told us he was a Muslim, but had no problems accepting a Hebrew Bible from us and an Arabic gospel tract detailing the fact that Isa, that's Arabic for Jesus, was more than a prophet, but the Son of God and God in the flesh. Because they deny the deity of Christ, and they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Nahad accepted the Scriptures as we strongly encouraged him to read it to see that Jesus is indeed more than a prophet. As we checked out of the hotel, we struck up a conversation with another friendly, moderate Arab Muslim. His name was Joseph. And our conversation steered toward the real identity of Jesus the Messiah. Joseph told us he was a licensed tour guide in Israel. When he told us his name was Joseph, he also mentioned that names do not mean anything, but what does count is what's on the inside of a person. We concurred and said the Bible teaches the same thing in 1 Samuel 16:7, where it states, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart." We concluded our witness by telling Joseph to take the Bible we offered, which he did, and see the evidence that Jesus alone came as the unique Son of God and Messiah. to fulfill messianic prophecy and live in our hearts with His salvation. On our way to Jerusalem, August and I stopped at, as it is called, the Yellow Gas Station. And at this particular location, again, it's proven to be a good fishing hole over several outreaches. So this time it was again, and we ended up witnessing to two ladies working there, two cashiers, and they were very open to the gospel witness. This is Savan here and Shira over there. And again, we told them we come to Israel to bring Habesa Rachel Yeshua HaMashiach, the good news of Jesus the Messiah, to His own people, that they may experience new life, the forgiveness of sins, and have victory over death through the crucified, risen Savior. They were very open. Savan told us, wanted us to pray for her because she was praying with her first child. We told her that we would pray she would have a safe delivery. And so pray that as they read the scriptures we gave them, they will experience and encounter the saving love and power of Jesus the Messiah. All right, moving on. This is going down Highway 90 from the Galilee, Tiberias, to Jerusalem. And it's a beautiful time in that location. And we arrived in Jerusalem. This is a picture I took from our hotel. In the background, you can see the Church of the Ascension. And over here, you can see the Dome of the Rock right there. August had an opportunity to witness to one of the employees there named Amos. He was an Israeli Jewish security guard. Amos was very open to hear about the case for Yeshua being the Messiah, based on the fulfillment of messianic prophecy given in the Tanakh. And so Amos it was the first fruits of our ministry in Jerusalem on this 50th gospel outreach. I don't have a picture of Amos. I think August did take a picture of him. Later in the evening, I met a friend of August's who owns a souvenir shop there at the hotel in Jerusalem. His name was Sam. God opened his heart to hear the gospel and receive a copy of God's inerrant word. He assured us he would read it to discover the marvelous Messiah in its inspired pages. Sam is a Muslim. Very nice guy, though, and he helped us out with some things to purchase. Well, next day was our first full day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem. And it was pleasantly effective. And we were headed down to the Kotel, the Western Wall. There is the Mount of Olives, the site of Jesus' return, according to the prophet Zechariah. This is the Church of the Ascension, the traditional site where Jesus ascended into heaven, Acts 1. So, as we were headed to the Western Wall, we, of course, after praying and placing prayers there at the Western Wall, August Rosado and myself then went to the Jewish quarter of the Old City to bring the gospel to people working and visiting there. The Lord led us to visit an affable lady, an artist by the name of Shira. So we're going to have to skip the video. We don't have time. We're already over time. So this is where we placed your prayers in the wall. Not that that's some magical location, but God's presence there is. God said His presence would be there in a unique and special way. He told Solomon He would place His name at the temple site there forever. All right, let's move on. Okay, so we met Shira. We met her in her art studio in the Cardo section of the Old City in Jerusalem. Cardo means heart. And in this area was the heart of the city of Jerusalem where many shops were located during the time of Jesus. She told us that she had made Aliyah from New York to Israel 6 years ago. She now is an accomplished artist. We told her that Messiah's love for His people, Israel, draws us to come to the land to give them, to give back to them the spiritual riches of Yeshua the Messiah and the Bible with both testaments in it. We told her God used the Jewish people to bring these great blessings to the world, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Shira agreed and said she understood what we meant. August and I told her the existence of a Jewish person like herself proves the fact the God of Israel exists. God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises to His people. And the Bible is true and can be trusted in all that it reveals about Israel, the world, and the Messiah. And this Messiah fulfilled first coming prophecies that exclusively point to Yeshua as the true Messiah of Israel. We then offered Shira the opportunity to accept and read a complete Hebrew Bible from us with Messianic Gospel literature to see what we were telling her was true, so that she could look these things up herself. She accepted our offer, and we pray she makes the Messianic connection, or she sees the Messianic connection Jesus makes between both testaments of Holy Scripture and comes to saving faith in Yeshua, now that the Word of God has been given to her. August and I then visited Udi, our artist friend, in his studio. He's another Israeli artist. We hugged each other and caught up on our lives over the last 2.5 years. During this visit, August got a chance to witness and give a complete Hebrew Bible to Udi's assistant, Esti. She was very open to us as she was shown that Yeshua is the Messiah, foretold in the Tanakh and fulfilled in the Berit Hadashah. From there, we ventured to the Mamilla Mall and shared the gospel with an open and receptive Arab Israeli, a lady by the name of Nada. This is a painting that Udi did in a fortnight. He said he felt the Spirit on him, and he's very close to salvation. And I have this painting, a copy of it, in my home framed. But this is what he did in one night. He said the Ruach HaKodesh came on him, and he painted that portrait. Again, I have to rush because, you know, we got to be out of here by 7, and it's already past 7. So, anyway, but this takes precedence. We were able to witness to Nadia, an Arab. I don't know if she was Muslim or not, but she welcomed the plan of salvation. She heard from us. We shared the gospel with her and encouraged her to study this more in the Word of God, which we offered her. And we told her that the basic message of the Bible is that God sent His Son, the Savior, into the world to die for her sins, to save her from God's judgment, and He rose again from the dead to give her eternal life, a personal relationship with God the Father through the Son, and a glorious future in heaven with Jesus. August and I were able to give Nadia a Bible for her own to read and an Arab gospel tract detailing the life of Jesus. She thanked us, promising to read what we gave her. So praise God for that. And the next morning, this is Michael. We've known him from past visits at this hotel, the Dan Jerusalem. And Michael, we realized we've never even given him a Bible. So we, at breakfast, we gave him a Bible and told him what is in the Bible, detailing the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah. So that was good. Pray for Michael. He's a Russian Jew. August and I, later in that morning, returned to the large Malka Mall in Jerusalem, where this ministry has had continued success preaching the gospel and distributing complete Hebrew Bibles among the Jewish people. The moment we walked into the mall this time, we were immediately approached by a young Israeli man named Iliad, and he's on my left there, on my left, Iliad, and he wanted to show us a boombox sound system. We instantly got into a conversation with him. Iliad would later say the reason he approached us right away was because August and I were wearing IDF jackets. Iliad told us about his harrowing experience in Gaza as a soldier for 4 dangerous months. He lost 2 friends there. As we were witnessing to Iliad about the Messiah of the Jewish Bible, his friend Hanan El joined in on the conversation. He's right here, Hananel. We then told these two men how much we love the land of Israel and the Jewish people for giving us the Hebrew Bible and Yeshua the Messiah. Both Eliad and Hananel were visibly overjoyed when we offered them two comprehensive study Bibles. You can see one right there. They were thrilled to receive it as a gesture of our godly love and profound attitude for the spiritual riches the Jewish people have given to the world, Romans 15:27. August and I therefore said, as believers in Yeshua, we must give back to the Jewish people the saving word of God that directly points to Yeshua being, of course, the Messiah. Both Eliad and Hananel accepted this with brotherly affection and were more than happy to receive the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. So that was a great way to start off our ministry in the Malka Mall. About 20 minutes later, we met a Russian lady by the name of Elvira. She was working in a jewelry shop. And I really laughed because we thought this was the last Bible that we had passed out. And so August was real, in a good way, gung-ho about we need to get this Bible passed out. So he literally just walks in there. We skip any preliminary conversation with this open lady, and he immediately got to the point of why we're here and what we wanted to give her. It was funny because he was just direct, and because in the past, when we have one more Bible to pass out of all of them, the devil fights us tooth and nail, and it seems like it takes forever to pass out that last Bible. So August wanted to make sure we're not waiting for hours to do this. We're going to do it now. So I appreciate his alacrity, his eagerness, and his positive aggressiveness. So August felt compelled to give this lady a Jewish Bible. She was a Jewish Russian. She was a Russian Jewish lady by the name of Elvira, and we told this open Israeli that in this book that we were giving her are the words of eternal life spoken by the one who is eternal life and gives eternal life to those who believe in him. And that eternal life is Yeshua HaMashiach. Elvira accepted the scriptures from us, and in parting we told her she will see in the Word of God Yeshua is the Messiah, the one who died for her sins and rose again in fulfillment of what was foretold in the Tanakh by Moses and the prophets. So our last day of ministry was on March 24th, the day following. And we're not going to have time to go into all this. So those are the steps. Part of those are the actual steps that Yeshua went up into the temple, which is the southern entrance. It's called the Huldah steps. And yeah, we're going to have to go through this quick because we've got to wrap it up. There's the steps, original. That's the Herodian stones used for the building of the second temple that stood in Jesus' time. All right. And this was the two entrances into the temple. See the archways. Keep going. All right, go ahead. Keep going. Let's go through those. This is a street that stood in the time of Jesus and the Romans when they dismantled the temple in 70 AD. They piled up over here and they crushed the city streets. These have stood here since 70 AD. Threw the stones over. That's what I meant.
Do you see the chief cornerstone? I think that's the area.
No, there's nothing mentioned about that. Okay, we need to... Okay, that's... Robinson's Arch, which provided a bridge for pilgrims to go into the temple. That's what's left of it now. And those are the Herodian stones the Romans threw down in the destruction of the temple in 70 AD due to Israel's murder and rejection of the Messiah. And this is, you might be mentioning, this is what you meant. This is the place where the trumpeter, the Levitical trumpeter, would go to blow the shofar or the silver trumpet to announce the beginning, the ending of Sabbath, the beginning and ending of feast days. So keep going. And this is a Hebrew inscription from the book of Psalms. I forgot which one that was there. And this is where the shops were located outside of the temple. The original pavement and the places where the shops were set up. Keep going. And there are ritual baths all over outside the second temple. And this is where the 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost went to be baptized. Skeptics of the Bible idiotically used to say, well, where did they get all the water if they baptized 3,000 people? Well, there were a plethora of mikvahs where they could go and do this. So before they entered the temple, they would go down this way as unclean, immerse themselves, go back. And then they would come back up ceremonially clean. So anyway, I don't want to... That's one mikvah out of many that stood during the Second Temple period. All right, and there's Vespasian's column that was erected when Vespasian and then his son Titus destroyed Jerusalem. You can see up there partially the name Vespasian. Both he and his son were later to become Roman emperors, and both were involved in the invasion of Jerusalem. So, our last day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem came to a triumphant conclusion. On this outreach, August and I were able to pass out 32 Hebrew Bibles with gospel tracts to the Jewish people and Arab people. In the Mamilla Mall, we went back there. We tried to get to Ben Yehuda Street, but the weather was not permitting. So we went back in the Mamilla Mall, and Augustine met Safra. Obviously, you see that she is an Arab Muslim that we encountered in one of the shops there. Augustine presented a Hebrew Bible to her with an Arabic gospel tract about the life of Isa. That's Hebrew Arabic for Jesus. We presented this to her, and... We wanted to give it to her, and we told her so that she could learn about the plan of salvation provided in Jesus of Nazareth, and that she could learn this from the inerrant Word of God we offered her. Safra was surprised at our generous offer. She said, yes, I would like to learn about this. So praise God for the Holy Spirit opening Safra's heart to learn of what Jesus said and accomplished for her salvation. We then returned to the hotel. And as we do at the completion of every gospel outreach, we film a brief video and post it on Facebook. I do one, and then August does one, summing up giving an overview and of the 50th gospel outreach to Israel. And while August was filming me, as I was doing this, this Israeli man in an IDF jacket was behind August giving his thumbs up and smiling from ear to ear. And we later learned that he was worked with the IDF to deal with multiple problems that they may have. The man's name was Ephraim. He was watching us do our video, summing up the 50th gospel outreach. And he was agreeing with it. And he was excited to learn what August and I were doing in Israel. Ephraim told us he was open to learning about the Jewish Jesus and expressed his desire to read the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament. Thrilled to hear this, August and I offered him a copy of both Testaments in Hebrew so that he could see that Moses and the prophets obviously and clearly wrote about Yeshua the Messiah, and that for a Jewish person to believe this truth completes the God-given destiny of every Jewish person. John 6:29. There are antichrists over there among the Orthodox mainly that teach that when you believe in Yeshua, you cease to be Jewish. That is a pernicious lie from hell, and it's not biblical. Ephraim was very excited to learn about Yeshua and readily accepted the complete Hebrew Bible for us. When I asked him if he had read the New Testament, he said no. So I had one more Bible. I raced back to the room, which was on the same floor of where this incident occurred, and I ran to the room, got a Bible, and gave it to him. And Ephraim repeatedly told us he was eager to read what Yeshua said in the Word of God, and with that, Folks, this momentous and glorious 50th gospel outreach was victoriously accomplished by the power of God's Spirit and His grace shed abroad through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God willing, June 20th through July 3rd, we will be going on our 51st gospel outreach. And I, without shame, would boldly ask you to please think about supporting this ministry. We're one of the only few ministries that takes the gospel to Israel. And we do it humbly, and we do it and meet the people on their level. But yet, it's irrelevant if they remember August and I. The most important thing that we do is place the Word of God in their hands with gospel tracts, so that when we're gone, whether recent or long gone, they will have the Word of God accessible to them so that they then can read and be saved. Amen. So we thank you tonight for listening. And as I share these photos with you of the people that were touched with the power of Yeshua the Messiah, and Lord willing, we'll be going back in June. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach, Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.